You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's exactly what Richard wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Highlight Reel. What is a highlight reel? A highlight reel is a compilation of the best clips or highlights of an event or series of work. So, if you got a Bible, let me tell you what this basically is. This is just a highlight reel. And we'll read you some verses in a minute. This isn't everything that has ever happened, right? Because as we'll see in a minute when I read the verse, if you actually had books that contained everything that ever happened, it would be completely overwhelming. So God somehow in his infinite wisdom and in his ability, in the case of Jesus, for instance, to take God himself and somehow compress him into a sperm and an egg, Jesus is born. It's unbelievable. How do you put God in that small a package? Part of the reason Jesus came was to demonstrate to us that God could be contained in a person. Because if he can't, then you can't be a Christian. So to be able to see Jesus and realize that he was God and a man, then you have a category for this great God, holy God, coming to earth. And if he could come here, then even though he leaves, the way you become a Christian is have the same God come live in you. And that is the difference. It is Christ in you. That is your only hope of glory, the scripture says. So if you don't have him in you, you can have him near you, talking to you, know things about him. If he's not in you, you're not going to make it. Not in the life, in the hereafter, and not in the here. You're not going to make it either place. So you basically have a book, which is, it's unbelievable. Clearly more happened to the people of Israel. Clearly more happened. I mean, you could have books just on the days that Noah was on the ark. That had to have been a crazy trip. One day we'll hear about all that. We can't even read one book. Think about it. How much time, if this is God's revelation, which I believe it is, if this is the information he left us, then you think you would spend some time reading the book, right? At least check the highlight reels. You say, well, I don't get it. You know what? There's tons of stuff you didn't get in school and you worked on it because you had a grade. You were going to have to give an account for that information. It's the same thing. You are responsible for information in this book. So the book is a highlight reel. The Gospels are basically a highlight reel of Jesus' life. Look at Matthew chapter 4. And you'll see, look at Matthew 4, verse 23. Find that. I'll give you a second to find that. And I'm not reading all of these cases, but I'll read you a few of these so you kind of get where just blanket statements are made. Matthew 4, 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria. They brought him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. So you think, well, what is that? That could be hundreds or thousands of people, but it just touches on these things. Go to John chapter 21, and this is a little bit of hyperbole here used, and some people say, well, but the Bible says this. Let me read it to you and explain this a little bit. John 21, 24, and John writing this says, this is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. So he's writing it about himself. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. If you wrote down everything he thought, everything he said, everything he did, everything, what he says here is the world couldn't house those books because he is so great. So clearly, you get these highlights. You get just a taste of everything that happened. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. I normally go left to right, but I'm not going to pull that off today. So Hebrews 11. This is kind of a highlight reel inside of the highlight reel. And it's fascinating to me that it literally just skips through. Some people don't even get mentioned, and some people that I kind of think are huge biblically get one mention. If you look there in Hebrews 11, the context here is talking about faith, and he mentions Abel, Cain, Enoch, Noah, little bleep there about Noah, that's huge. The world gets saved. The animals and eight people get saved because of what Noah did. Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, Sarah down in verse 11. And there's a big chunk in there about Sarah and the child they have. Abraham, Isaac, mentions Isaac and Esau again. Jacob, Joseph, Moses, his name mentioned there twice. You keep going down. And of all people that I love this stuff, a prostitute. All these great godly people, and then Rahab in the middle of this whole deal. And she's about the only wild card in here. I mean, there's some wild ones in there, but this is just one person basically did one thing, and she gets mentioned in the highlight reel. Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David. And that's what kind of hit me funny. I was like reading this also of David down in verse 32. Like David, I mean, I want like a whole book on him. More books on him, everything he did. Samuel and the prophets. And then he kind of throws everybody else in there. Then he talks about 35 women. And then it just turns into others, still others. And look at some of these things. And this is, by the way, if anybody reads Hebrews 11, they usually like to stay in the first half of this chapter because the backside, these people live by faith as well. But look what happens in verse 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Well, great. All that sounds great. I have faith. All that good stuff's going to happen. And then the word others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. So you say, well, what about my highlight reel? What would my highlight reel? Some of these people, their highlight reel was, I was born, I believed, I had faith, and somebody sawed me in two, and that's what happened. He said, well, I'm not interested in that kind of life. You don't get to pick. I don't get to pick. And if you do pick, you may not pick what he picks, and then you miss your whole life. You say, well, this would be a horrible way to live and die. Yes, but if that's what's intended, and that's really what you're supposed to be doing, that's what you've got to find out. You say, well, if I trust God, what if that's the thing that happens to me? I suffer. You've got to trust him enough to suffer. And he said, well, why are you talking about this? If you really decide to do the deal and live your life and get to the end of it trusting him, your highlight reel is gonna highlight some real stuff. Go to Romans chapter 7. In a highlight reel, you're trying to show the best clips. If you're willing to highlight real, you're going to have to cover some tough stuff. It's all part of life. And what I love about the Bible as a highlight reel is that it highlights real. And part of what makes it so believable to me, I've said this repeatedly, is that God included everything. Look at Romans 7, and I'll read you a few of these verses. Let's jump into verse 15. And this is Paul writing, not as a young man, probably at the end of his life, as an older man. And he is still writing, the Holy Spirit writing this stuff to leave to us. And he says this, for what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, think about your own life. What you will to do, you say, I am not going to blank again. Not going to do that again. So that is what you're willing to do or not do. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. Anybody understand what that's about? If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Now this is Paul talking. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. So you have the desire, the will is there to do the right thing, but how to get it done, you just go, I fell again. For the good that I will to do, I do not, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. Ever experienced this war? Let me tell you something. If you're a Christian and you're in the game, you are experiencing the war in your brain, the battle for your brain. And you say, well, no, my battle's not in my mind, it's physical. If the devil doesn't get your brain, he can't get your body because your brain is running your body. So you have to make decisions. You say, well, I don't feel like doing the right thing. You're not going to feel like doing the right thing. You just by faith have to do it. But I see another law in my members, verse 23, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity, the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. I just thank God so much that Paul was directed to write these kind of things, because that's where I live. That's where you live. Sooner or later, you're going to not just have to put the good clips out there. You're going to have to highlight the real stuff in your life so that someone believes that this is even doable. I grew up in a system where people went to church and it was shellac Christianity. Somewhere before they got there, somebody just shellacked a smile on their face, straightened their tie, you know, like they just couldn't even stop smiling. How are you? Great. How was your week? Great. Everything's good. Praise the Lord. Everything, you know, like just dying to get out of there and go back to who they were. So a non-Christian comes in and looks around and goes, these people are crazy. I don't want to join their acting class. I just trying to figure out how to live, because you're screwed up. You're jacked up like everybody else. So does it mean the church should be messed up? Let me tell you something. We don't even have to try that. It already is the case. Now you think, well, how do I know all this? Because I got a mirror and I live with me and I sit with a ton of you people over and over and over all the time. So I know whatever's going on in here is going on anywhere on the planet. It's just reality. Now go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. So you can highlight real Romans chapter 7 for Paul, one of the places. And here's what is awesome about this to me, that he could also write this to another young guy who's watching and trying to get down the road too. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and this is Paul, and you just read what he wrote to the church in Rome, and then look at this. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. What if that's all your highlight reel read? I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Is that going to be your story? And if not, why not? Are you even in the fight? You say, well, what are we fighting against? It's not other people. It's not flesh and blood. It is principalities and powers. The sooner you figure out your argument is not with your wife, your husband, your kids, you have to stop shooting at their shadows and start shooting at the enemy. And you shoot in prayer. That's where you take all the strongholds and all this junk down that holds itself up against the knowledge of Christ. You've got to go after the real enemy. You'd be amazed at how much arguing ceases when you attack the real source of it. Your problem is not your husband. It's the demon that lives in him. So there we go. Thought that would be nice. Just making sure the women are still listening. All right. Let me read you a definition of the word real. Not artificial or simulated. Genuine. The real thing. The genuine article. Not an inferior or mistaken substitute. And we've got all these phrases like get real, for real, the real McCoy, the real thing, real life, the real me, the real you, keeping it real. And as a church, what do? We try to keep it real. Why is that? Because when someone comes in with real problems and they've got struggles and they're trying to live this life and make it work, then what do we say? Here's the only thing that works for us. Someone explained to us that Jesus died for us, was buried, raised from the dead. We can live eternally because of that with God. We can get an abundant life here and now. It's going to be a struggle. We still got challenges. But if you want to get on the bus, instead of under the bus, jump in with us. And we'll help you in the process. And that is very appealing to people. People are not interested in being religious. That is exhausting. Now go to Philippians chapter 3. I encourage you to find a highlight reel verse for your life, something that you could kind of connect to and say, God, this is what I'm after. This is who I want to be. And maybe one day you can write it down and say, you know, people die and at the funeral, what do? It's not a highlight reel because most people don't have that much video, but we sit and they put, you know, pictures up on a screen. And what are those? Highlights, kids, some event. It's mostly family though. I've referenced this before, and for some reason, this comes back to me over and over. Payne Stewart, the golfer who died in a plane wreck, flying to Dallas, as a matter of fact. Payne Stewart was a crazy man, was a wild man, and he became a Christian. And I stayed up and made time to watch that funeral. And it still stuns me because the highlight reel of Payne Stewart's life, there were some crazy stories told by friends, but they could not talk about Payne Stewart without talking about Jesus. That's the kind of highlight reel you want. Even if they tell your junk, even if someone you knew in the past gets up and say, well, I don't know what you people are talking about, but I knew him back when. When you become a Christian, your new life so trumps your old life that people go, yeah, maybe that was him. But wow, look at who he was before he died. What have you got? What are they going to say about you? What are they going to say about me? Are they have to make stuff up? Bring someone in to say nice things? And everybody wonder if they're at your funeral? Listen to Philippians chapter 3 in verse 4 and following. Let's just jump in here. He's talking about all his credentials. And he says, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, in other words, who you are just as a human being, I more so, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. If you're a Christian, you're going to have that thought before it's all over. The stuff you used to chase, value, think life was all about, sooner or later you go, this stuff did not matter. The things that I thought were gain to me, I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. Now look at this. He's to the place, he has suffered the loss of all things. What if they took your business away from you? You know, all you got to do is study history. You know, these things are not hypothetical. If you were a Jew in Germany, they just walked in and took it away and killed you. The Jewish people, Israel, God's people, the enemy would come in, they would not obey, and they would just come in and seize everything. Kind of a Marxist takeover. And whatever was yours, whatever you had built, it was gone. It was just taken over by the government. You say, well, that's not going to happen here. Let me tell you something. There are a lot of things happening here that you didn't think were going to happen here, and you're going to sleep while it happens. Your little country here, if you're an American, and you've decided to make this our country, which I don't think is about being American, I think it's about being a Christian, but where we are, whatever used to be ain't no more. And this thing is sliding. The devil's smart. He doesn't do it fast and overnight. He just erosion, and you wake up and go, well, how did my house fall off this cliff? Because you didn't speak up. You didn't step up. You said, well, I just want to be nice and keep everything politically correct. I am tired of all the politically correct crap. And the politically correct people aren't even politically correct about addressing my incorrectness. There is no sensitivity my way. You say, well, you're angry. I'm not angry at America. I'm not angry at politics. I'm angry at hell. Because all of this stuff comes straight out of hell. And they are brilliant. They're going to lose, but they are brilliant. The great thing, by the way, about this book and why you should read your Bible. Now, listen to me. This is the highlight reel from beginning to end. And when you get discouraged and overwhelmed, you say, oh, what's going to happen? This is a terrible story. It looks like it's going bad. We win. We win. No matter what goes on down here, Jesus is on his throne. God is still God. Hell freezes over, everything happens that you didn't think would happen, and we win. But you say, oh, that sounds all Christian right, political. We only win when the more people we can take with us win. If it was just about, okay, I'm a Christian, forget you people, good luck. Why do we keep preaching the gospel? Why do we keep going after it? Because there are people who are not gonna win, and we care about those people. Keep reading here, look at these verses. Things were counted to me, I've counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. And look at these verses. That I may know him. This does not say that I may know things about him. The more time I spend with people, the more I realize I get to know them. You can send me your resume and I can learn facts about you. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in knowing you as a person. And the only way to do that is through a relationship and to spend time. So he says here that I may know him and the power of resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, which most people are not interested in this, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. And then look at verse 12, and this is part of his highlight reel. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected. He says, I'm not arrived. I haven't figured all out. I'm not there yet. But I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of me. Now think about this with me for a minute. Part of what you're supposed to be doing is getting a hold of that for which Christ has gotten a hold of you. And if you're a Christian, God has gotten a hold of you. And you say, well, God, let me go. Let me go do what I want to do. He says, no, that didn't work before. I'm not letting go. Then why did you get a hold of me? What is it you want? I want to get a hold of why you got a hold of me. That's what you got to figure out. He said, well, what if that costs me? You got one life. You got one shot. No matter what it costs you, if you obey, that's better than anything you can come up with. And the book repeatedly says, if you try to hold on to your life, you will lose it. But if you lose it for his sake, that's when you find it. I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. He's amazing about that. You say, well, I think I figured that out. You say, Lord, I didn't know if I was going to tell this story, but I'll tell it. I don't even know that I'll say who. I went with a guy sitting in this room to Atlanta to meet with an amazing man. If I said his name, you'd know it. 80 years old. Just an incredible. We went to dinner, went to his house, sat around the table in his home, and it was just a crazy experience. It doesn't even seem like it was real still at this point. And when we sat with this man who is in countries all over the world preaching the gospel for decades, at a certain point in the conversation, this man listening, he was willing to listen. And this is what he said. He said, I woke up this morning in my time with Jesus, spending time with the Lord. He said, I said to him, Father, if there's anything that you want for me to hear or to learn that I up to this point have missed from these men that are coming to see me tonight, then show me that. 80 years old. Do you know how encouraging that is to me? Because who am I? Who are we to have some man be praying that? You better be teachable to the finish line or you're going to miss something. And a lot of ball gets played in the last 2 minutes of a ball game. Every sport on the planet almost does 2 minute drills. The last few minutes, they run drills being ready. You have to be ready. You don't know when your shot's gonna come. You go back and read highlight reel Esther in the Old Testament. That woman was made beautiful. She was put in a specific place, chosen by a king, had rights to go in there and save the people of God because she had boldness. She could have died doing what she did. But she was there and she spoke and God honored that.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellistalks.com. You'll find today's talk right there on the talks page, along with all of Richard's messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link to connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, a radio station finder, all our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellistalks.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
So you say, well, nothing big happens. If you hit the finish line in Jesus' name, something big happened. You lived it. So you say, well, why don't you just leave us alone? Why don't you just let us be nice Christian people? Just go to work, raise our kids, and forget all this. Because that's not what it says. It's a war. There are people out there to reach, and you're up. You are the soldier. You're the chosen one. He has laid hold of you for a reason. Then one day your highlight reel is going to roll. There's going to be some real stuff in mine. Not all highlights, but it's part of who I am.
And the stunning thing is, no matter how high it goes or low it goes, if you will submit and listen and trust and obey, he will use you almost no matter what, if you let him. And if I go down, I get back up. Say, Lord, I'm not going to quit. And he says, I know.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program, but also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. Thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.